cutthroat negotiators, they're predators. They're just like hostage takers. They're just like international kidnappers. They're just like terrorists. They aim to identify where you're weakest and then try to exploit that. These are your assertive negotiator personality types. Three keys to dealing with them is what we just talked about, deferring. The key for you to maintain the upper hand is to give the illusion of control to the other side. And you do that with deference. If you're a one-on-one coach with me, you've heard me say, I want you to defer. I want you to subordinate yourself to the other side. Even if you are the president and CEO of the company and you're having a conversation with a direct report, you need to be able to subordinate yourself to that other side. The second thing, tactical empathy needs to be interwoven throughout your negotiation. And it must be used as your precursor to your ask, to your precursor to being assertive. And then finally, being able to master no. Saying no to assert yourself and your position and maintain that upper hand. So let's start with talking about mastering the no. This is letting them hear no, letting them feel no without actually saying the words no. And so for your best results, it's going to be tactical empathy on the front end, and then however you're going to say no, and we'll talk about the four phases of no in a later session, but you're letting them hear it, letting them feel it without you actually saying it. Ned Colletti used to manage the Dodgers back in the day, and he was famous for saying, I like to let out no a little bit at a time. And so we're going to talk about ways to actually push back against the other side without cornering themselves and without cornering you. Mastering their weaknesses, their weaknesses. Where do you think the cutthroat's weakness lies?
Not having control.
That's one of them. They need to feel like they're in control. The assertive, the cutthroat negotiators are looked upon as some of the most difficult people to deal with in a difficult conversation and negotiation. From my perspective, they're the easiest because they want to feel like they're in control. And they want to feel like they got the best deal that they could. The operative word in both of those is feel. Yeah, Chris tells a story all the time about being in the international kidnapping market and the powers that be wanting to know when are they going to release the kidnapped victim. And Chris's standard response was when they feel like they've gotten everything that they could, when they feel like they got the best price possible. Doesn't mean that they actually end up with the best price possible. They just need to feel like they did. And so we're talking about feelings. And how stupid is that when you're talking about international kidnappers and terrorists? We're talking about how they feel. And so our job is to make them feel in control as early as possible, using deference, using subordination. You may even want to say, you know, it's clear that you've got the upper hand here. It's clear that you're in control here. They'll eat it up. They'll eat it up. You try it one time when you go into an area, a space in your organization where you don't have the same cachet as you do in your own, but you bring to the table a special knowledge or skill or ability that's going to help this other space improve their ability to do their job. And when you come in there, you're viewed as an interloper, you're viewed as an outsider. And so as a result, you'll likely get pushback for any idea, any suggestion that you make, because it's not your area and you're encroaching. And the sooner you recognize that and defer to that, the more cooperation and non-obligatory buy-in you'll get from the other side. Other techniques in dealing with the cutthroat negotiator: late night FM DJ voice. Conquer their tone of voice with yours. The late night FM DJ voice is a deliberate cadence reduction in your delivery. It's downward inflecting. There are people who say mirror neurons don't exist, but it hasn't been borne out scientifically for me yet, because I've seen the impact that one's voice can have on a counterpart. The cutthroat negotiator, the assertive negotiator, is domineering, bullying in their delivery. Fastest way to mitigate that is check your own tone. You guys have all seen or done the 60 seconds or she dies exercise. You know for a fact, because you've seen it, whomever is playing the role of the hostage taker in that event can dial people up or dial them back just by their tone of voice. And we have seen it time and again. Going into the late night FM DJ voice, the analyst voice reduces, slows down the brain, reduces the negatives and slows the brain down of the person on whom the voice is used. The late night FM DJ voice is simply slowing your cadence down, making exaggerated attempts at pronouncing every syllable in every word. Slows the other side down. And what else? Dynamic silence. The cutthroat negotiator likes to dominate the conversation. The more you shut your mouth, the more they're going to talk. Very effective. Very effective in getting them to provide you with the information that you're going to need to move the needle. A place where you find a lot of cutthroats. Let's go with Dean first. Dean, talk to me about your experience with dealing with cutthroat procurement negotiators.
It's, you know, can be very clinical. They want to get the best deal possible. I do a lot of work with local government, so they can be really tight on trying to get the best price possible, the best terms. And they think the best way of doing that is to be strong and brutal about it. It raises a question for me, actually, which I was going to throw in earlier, which is, do you use priming as well when you're dealing with a cutthroat? Because I found that to be quite powerful as well.
And so, for the benefit of everybody else, because I know priming as a technique, are you in the UK?
Yes.
I know priming as a technique is huge in the UK. So share with the rest of the group what you mean by priming, and then we'll talk about its efficacy.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things I've been playing with a lot in recent years is you're starting to prime the individual for the behaviors that you want them to display. So I might start a conversation by saying, you know, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. So I'm dropping in the words of generosity, but I'm also bringing in things like positive association or negative dissociation. So if I think about a cutthroat who wants to be seen as strong and powerful, I may negatively dissociate some of the weaker behavior. So I might say to him, you know, it's rare to meet somebody who's so strong and powerful at negotiation. I meet so many weak negotiators that they tend to be really unsuccessful because they don't seem to be able to connect with the person in front of them. So yeah. I'm priming for connection and openness and dropping a lot of those things in. So I wondered if that was something you've used as well.
In the hostage world, priming is done often. You know, for example, you know, it's clear to us you're not ready to come out now. When you are, let's talk about what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Now, Marcella did a fantastic job of priming this one guy that she dealt with on her first job, where she was taking back to the vision. What's it going to look like when you come downstairs? What's it going to look like when you actually put that gun down? What's it going to look like when you're out and walking the beach that you so desperately want to get back to? She did a lot of that priming. So, but what are you really doing when you're priming like that? How does that dovetail with what we talk about at Black Swan? It dovetails because you're just priming is another skill by which you are demonstrating tactical empathy. It's another way that you are deferring to the other side. It's another way to demonstrate you're subordinating yourself to the other side. When you say something like it's rare to meet a negotiator as strong as you, what are you doing?
Releasing chemicals.
Yeah. You're giving them hits of dopamine. They're like, yeah, that's right. That's right. And they go about telling you how they cleaned the clock of the last person that they were in the room with. And that's providing you vital information of what you need to either expound on or avoid during your conversation. So I like the idea of priming, and I wanted you to actually lay it out for the rest of the group, because priming is just another tool for tactical empathy. That's all it is.
Mm. And would you then follow that up with the behaviors you want them to display more of, like openness and connection?
I think that that's going to be self-evident because of your openness and your drive for connection. Because it's all under that tactical empathy umbrella, the rule of reciprocity holds true. So I don't necessarily need to voice it. I'm going to demonstrate it. And that carries a lot more weight than you trying to plant it, so to speak.